entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7 is humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. So Ed, we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say on that.
Thanks, Greg. So am I. This has been a real experience for me going through this. I've had to do a little research, so to speak, into my soul. I mean, I did done a little bit of reading. I'm going to read a little bit tonight. But it's been an eye-opener for me. It's been a good journey so far. So we'll get right to it. I'm going to read out of the big book, page 76. Step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to have God remove all of all these things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can we now take them all? Can he now take them all? Every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in my way of usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. Amen. And I like this part the best. We have now completed step 7. So that's all that's in the big book about 6 and 7, if you had a glance. There's a lot more in there as we go through, but that's what this specifically talks about, 6 and 7, which is all good stuff. The only thing I want to add to that, because I'm kind of going to talk about 6 and 7 together, is out of the 12 and 12, it's the beginning, not the beginning, but it's a starting the next paragraph down in the 12 and 12 and page 70. Indeed, the attainment of great humility is a foundation principle of each AA's 12 steps. For without some degree of humility, no alcoholic can stay sober at all. And I found that to be true, sober or happy. I think that, you know, I've talked about my A and B sobriety. A sucked, B sucked in the beginning when I started that, and it's gotten a lot better. 6 and 7, you know, it's kind of like the nuts and bolts for me, you know, because I say every day in my prayers in the morning, God help me to do what you want me to do in my life today. Basically, it's what I say every day, something like that. Guide me, direct me, because I can't live this life alone. So all my character defects are part of what blocked me from my higher power, and that's mainly my ego. That's what I wasn't willing to change early on. And these steps here remind me, you know, this is a lifelong endeavor, one day at a time, that I have to every day remember I'm a human being, first of all. And guess what? That human being right next to that in the dictionary probably says imperfect. I'm always going to be imperfect. And I accept that today. I, on the outside, early on in my sobriety and in my life, outside of AA, before AA, I had a big ego, but I was dying on the inside. You know, the inferiority complex was delusions of grandeur. I mean, both sides of the coin in one person, kind of it's a nutso case, in my case anyways. So I'm quite sure my first part, my part A and my recovery and time in AA, I'm quite sure there was at least some changes because I put the plug in the jug. But I really don't think a lot of the changes started coming when I started feeling a difference until I started looking at these steps with open eyes, with a willingness to look at my life and wanting to change some of the crap in my life and how I deal with people and how I deal with myself and my higher power. So 6 and 7 has gotten better over the last 10, 15 years, immensely. I rely more on my higher power than I ever have in my whole life. And he's removed so much of the crap out of my life. And what's left, I'm hanging on to it, apparently. I mean, but that being said, I don't know if I'm ever going to attain perfection. And that's what these two steps imply. But that's what the journey is. At some point, I hope to be a little better than I am today. I'll be a little bit better than I was yesterday. I think I'm some degree a little bit better, but I'm nowhere near the man I want to be. So these two steps prod me forward in what I'm supposed to look at. If anybody knows me, which a lot of you people do in this meeting, you know, the humbleness has gotten better over the years, but I'm not a humble man by any means, stretch of imagination. Better than I used to be, I know that to be true. But it's nowhere near where I think it should be, and I think that's a good thing because I need to see, I found for me personally, everything in my daily life, I had better keeping the spiritual realm as much as possible because my life goes so much better, especially with these steps here, because I can look at my character defects that have been there for a long time and go, well, that's worthless. Why should I even try to change? It's not me doing the change. All I have to be is willing and make an honest attempt at it. That's it. It's not, none of this is done on my own volition. I was granted a gift of sobriety. I was granted the gift of the need for alcohol. That was the gift that was removed. The desire was removed. So I have a belief up here that God can take all this stuff away and make me perfect. First of all, I don't know if he wants it to have happen. I don't know. I mean, that's not my job to answer that. Number two, I'm hanging on to stuff, and I know I am. Things that aren't painful, I never change. It's the way it's always been. But life is so much better because my character defects have either been tempered or removed. And I think that's a direct result of my spiritual life one day at a time. I hesitate to talk about how much growth I have. I don't think that's my judgment. I think that's my higher power and other people and my sponsor. And I hope he would chime in either on the meeting here or if he needs to talk to me in person about this, because I think he's a big barometer for me. But no, we all need a little bit of humility. But the more I talk of your humility, the more it floats away. So as much as there was in the big book about these two steps, as much as I can talk about it, as far as a personal experience, other than it really works well when people ask me questions. So I think we're at that point, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Ed. So we'll go ahead and we'll open this up for questions now. If you have a question for Ed on the steps that we discussed tonight, go ahead and unmute yourself and fire away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
Hey, Helen. Ed,
thank you so much for your sharing tonight. And I can be one of those people who attest to the change that has taken place in you. But my question is a very, very serious one.
Oh.
Yes. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
You might want to talk with your sponsor before you answer it. Do you think it's harder for men to take the sixth and seventh step than it is for women?
I think that's a question better left for God. I'm not touching that one.
It's a great answer.
I'm a little bit smarter than I used to be.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Helen.
Who's next?
No, meeting's over.
Hi, Ed. Kevin, I'm the host. A couple of questions. You hear it all the time in this program that, you know, step six and seven, you know, there's not very much written in the big book about it, but the 12 and 12 seems to go into it a little bit more detail, and some of Bill's writings really get into it. So yeah. My question to you is the evolution of your sixth and seventh steps for yourself personally. Can you describe some of that as far as not just the breadth of the steps, but maybe the depth of the step? And do you find these a harder part of the program than a lot of the other steps?
Well, you know, I really think all the steps tie together. It's all spiritual. And once I was able to realize that, and it wasn't me, I just had to be willing to receive from my higher power. And the more I don't want to change, the more I'm not willing to change, the more my life sucks. The more I include my higher power in my life, the better my life is. But that didn't happen overnight. That has been an ongoing process. I'm not perfect at even my own personal program. It's an ongoing evolutionary thing, which I think is a good thing. I can tell you from the day I put the plug in the jug to this moment here, I'm more at peace. And I think that comes from including my higher power and my people in my life. And that's all AA as a whole. Because I believe my higher power works through people. The other venue is a baseball bat alongside my head, which I don't like that so much. I try to stay away from those real bad areas. So this, see, when I really struggle with something, it means I'm hanging on to it and I'm not willing to let it go. If I just let it go, and that's okay. Those are just words. Those are something I had to personally develop on my own. You know, I think a sponsor and everybody leading and having all these meetings is great, but there's a lot of, I think, kneel time. I call it kneeling time. I don't kneel. I would never get back up. But a lot of prayer time and meditation time that has gone into my personal serenity and what I have inside today. It's not that my sponsor has propelled me forward. You people have propelled me forward. But that's all good stuff, which people talk to me about. But it's what do I do with it? This is the meat and bones. Once we've unlocked all that crap in four and five and, you know, a little bit before that, especially with admitting I'm an alcoholic, that this is where the real work starts to change all that crap. But what I found out, the little secret that I found out about myself, all I got to do is be willing and make an effort. I don't have to sit there and write all my crap down. I'm working on my dishonesty today. I'm working on my anger today. That's never really worked for me. I put it in God's hands each day, and I try to live in the moment. And the best word my sponsor ever taught me, and I keep saying it all the time, is pause. If I pause and give a moment for God to come into my life, things are a lot better. You tapped on something really good there, Kevin. Thanks.
I'm an alcoholic and my name's Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I was pretty mad the first time I did these and like I still had stuff to do. Because, you know, I thought this was going to be a magic wand. And then, you know, I was just going to be this wonderful person that never had to do anything else. And that's not really how it worked. But it took me, I don't know, 15 years, I think, to realize that it says, are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? So, right. Like, I have to know that it's objectionable. It has to be objectionable to me.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a whole lot of other character defects that I have that are objectionable to other people. But the only ones that I can work on are the ones that are objectionable to me. And what I realize is that if I find myself surrounded by assholes, there's probably something I need to be working on, because that's God showing me. Do you find that to be true in your life too?
Well, yeah, the people, even when I was drinking, the people where I surround myself took me deeper into a hole. But I will say this about surrounding myself with assholes. I think they make me look better.
Oh, man. But
he said, I want to be serious. That's not true. you know, I think the people I surrounded myself with early on were good people. They were struggling just like I was. But I don't think I'm supposed to judge people, but I need good judgment who I need in my life. I need to surround myself with good people who are working, in my opinion, good program, people that I can learn from, grow together with. But that's taken a long time. I rejected a lot of this stuff. So I got a cough drop for you. You need a cough drop, Kevin?
Am I unmuted? Oh, my God.
Yeah, so is that answering your question, Terry? Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Ed. This is Lisa. So in the beginning, when I was starting to deal with my defects and my shortcomings, whenever I would have a moment where they were kind of rearing their ugly head, I would feel like I was failing, and I felt like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And it helps when people are in meetings and they say, oh, I tried to give this up and it came, I took it back, or like what you were talking about is even there's some things you're holding on to. When I hear that, then it's helped me understand that it's not always the, you know, you don't just walk into this and become perfect, you know, and I certainly don't think that's ever going to happen, but it makes it easier for me, you know, to hang on to the progress versus perfection. I understand that better now. Do you find other people came into it with that idea, like with your sponsors? I came in and just was so surprised at how badly I was doing for a while.
Well, most alcoholics are egotistical, very to the nth degree when we get here. So we're not looking at ourselves, or I wasn't looking at myself when I got here, other than I drank too much. I figured I did half step on the first step. I'm a drunk. I drank too much. I quit drinking. I'm okay now. Like Terry, I did. Shouldn't have been much more work after that, right? this stuff that we learn in Alcoholics Anonymous is a design for living, not a design for lived. We are living this program one day at a time, and we need to apply it to our daily lives. And it just isn't, okay, well, I didn't pray today. So what? Well, that doesn't cut it with me, because when I've done that and it goes for days and days, I'm in trouble. I have not plugged into the power source. So this is not by my own hand other than the willingness. And that goes with every step and everything I do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I could be terrible at it. I just have to be willing and be diligent, because it's gotten so much easier over the years. I've heard it say, you know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? That's an old saying, practice, practice, practice. These 12 steps I'm applying to my life, and I practice the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous every day in my life. Success or failure, I practice in every day. So, is that a good answer for you?
That's a perfect answer. Thank you so much.
Hi, Ed.
Okay, here we go. Listen up.
You are still bad.
Yeah, probably am gonna be always be bad.
Looking back on working on character defects, a lot of times we work on our character defects, and I can't remember where it is in the book, but it says sometimes they come back in disguised form.
Yes, yes.
One thing I've noticed over the years in different alcoholics is they stop drinking, but they start eating, or they stop drinking and they start gambling. And so
the character defects manifest themselves in different areas of their lives, the OCD or whatever it is that is there. Have you ever had any opportunities or any insight into seeing that in yourself? Does it manifest itself in yourself? I know you're laughing because I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, you're asking. You have. You already know the answer to it, so don't you still have to answer it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah. Because that's the whole point of this whole thing. I'm supposed to be honest who I am each day. You know, when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, I weighed 235 or 240 pounds. I weigh 300 plus pounds today. You know, and I get that. I understand all that. But one other thing I want to say about it, it's not okay to be that much weight because of my health. And I understand what that does to me. I understand all that. But I've never been happier in my life. And I'm not saying I am working on change. I'm not going to go into that whole crap. But I do understand exactly what you're saying. For years, I couldn't quit smoking. That was a real baddie. And that about literally killed me. I was two and a half packs a day. When I first got here, I was lucky if I smoked a pack a day. You know, it's the willingness to change. I'm never going to be a skinny mini, and I get that. And I understand that. But I need to do things for my health, too. But it's not about – that's not the question you're asking. It's not about my weight. It's not about the smoking. It's about the holding on to the crap inside. And I understand all of that. And I'm okay with that. I'm still broken after 35 years. Just a little less broken. Some of the super glues put me back together. The AA super glues put me back together in some ways. And I'm okay with that. I got a journey that is such a great journey. And you were one of the keys in the lock to unlock this for me because I was ready at that point. I'd suffered so much by then. Yeah. You're hitting something, Jim. And I knew you knew you were gonna when you asked that question. God, I love my life today. And I'm so imperfect, and I'm okay to look in the mirror and say that I am imperfect. I just got to be willing. This has been a good journey for me. It really has. When this whole COVID started, before Kevin asked me again, I did a personal inventory with me and me and God. And I was about ready to have you sit down with me and all the crap happened here. So, you know, we can't stop. This isn't a one and done thing. This is an ongoing lifetime journey. I've only scratched the surface. I don't know how much more joy and serenity I can stand, but I'm going to look for it. You know? Yeah. It's all good. Even in the brokenness, growth can happen. Even in the brokenness, joy happens. I'm never, ever going to be perfect. And this is what this part of it, this is all about, is to beat the hell out of my ego so I know I don't need to be perfect. I'm a human being. This is who I am. I'm on a journey like this with the rest of you guys. We got to do this together. That's one of the things I dislike about this COVID. I miss all you guys in person. So you need a more in-depth answer, Jim.
Well, to follow up on that, what I would say is an observation on you is that you used to be a lot more serious. And I think, and it happens to a lot of us as we work the sixth and seventh step, we start to get a sense of humor. And we learn that we can laugh at ourselves. And I think that's one of the ways we begin to heal.
Yeah.
We start to laugh at some of the dumb stuff we come up with and some of the dumb stuff we think about, some of the reasons or excuses that we have. And I think it's a blessing in a sense, that sense of humor. You know, how do you know AA is working? You can laugh at yourself. You know, I think that's a real important, you know, life is to be enjoyed, and laughter after all those tears in all those years, I mean, is one of the crucial aspects of sobriety. And I think it's important that we realize that, you know, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to, you know, to laugh at ourselves. And I do that all the time because I do a lot of dumb shit still today. You know, I don't measure twice and cut once. I cut twice after I've measured once.
You know? That's where I got it from. I never was like that before.
But you learn.
Yeah.
You learn. You know, it's all about learning and learning and laughter and enjoying. We've already paid the price. So thanks for being a good friend. You're getting better. I don't know how, but you are.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, this time I have a serious question. Since you brought this period of COVID and the changes it has made in lifestyles for every one of us, you know, have you noticed any efforts to change?
This stark warning is a new one from
you. Have you noticed any change, either positive or negative, in character defects?
I'm going to say both. Like I said, I've used this time, especially early on when this all the lockdown happened. I had some time to reflect and all that good stuff. I felt some of it tonight. There's a power when alcoholics get together in recovery. And when I'm not able to feed off that power in person, these meetings are great, the Zoom meetings, but they're not like a real meeting. And that's okay for us people who have time. I really worry about the people who don't have the time and don't have a good spiritual foundation, that they probably really are struggling. But I understand what you're saying, and I could see a little bit of that on the negative side, but I understand all that. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it. I'm not saying that. But that's one reason why I've always said, I got a 6-foot table. Anybody's allowed in my house anytime to sit across that table if they need human contact with a cup of coffee, or if it's good weather, we'll sit outside. I still think we need that. And I put all the rest of that in God's hands, the good and bad and all that, sitting in the same room, whatever. But I still think that this is a life and death program. And if I don't offer that to somebody else, I guess what I'm receiving from that question is, I feel that the lack of in-person meetings, that's what I really miss, because there's a power sitting in a room with a bunch of drunks that I feed off of. And I don't know if I've answered your question, but that's what I got out of it.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, you know, though, I've been going to enough Zoom meetings. I'm feeling that power sitting here in my own living room.
Somewhat, but not as good as the Brill meetings, though.
Not as good, but I'll tell you, it's a lot better than just phone contact.
You're absolutely right.
So, thanks, Ed. Love you. Early.
Hi, Ed. Rena, alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
I'm having a moment, too. You know, I've told you before that you're my conduit. God speaks to me through you. And I feel that now, like Helen was just saying, too. Yeah, that you have that special gratitude for recovery like I do, and I really appreciate that. It shows. But what I'd like to say about 6 and 7 is, before my question, sorry, I was just confused by them for a good 13 years into my sobriety. I was kind of clueless. And now all of a sudden God's put me in a spot where I'm on my own with, you know, no one around me. And he has revealed some really, really deep character defects. And I'm just so grateful for it. And I think, you know, it is just a matter of having time, and God, when God feels you're ready, then he reveals them to you. I'd like to know if you think that's true, and if you've seen it in your sponsees and others.
Yeah, you know, I know it more in myself. And I'll tell you why. When situations come up, in some ways, it's a blessing I'm not working. But I had a lot of time when I was still working in the shop. And when I was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing, I could feel the presence of God going, Ed, you shouldn't do that. You know, so I think if we're trying to tap into the power, we're going to realize that there's stuff we need to work on. It's there right in front of us. And that's where the willing part comes. If we're willing to sit in the presence of our higher power each day, or a sponsor who's willing to tell you, things are going to be there to be revealed to you. And I believe that's true. The more you want it, the more you connect with your higher power, more will be revealed. And some of the stuff that's been harder for me to work on has gotten easier because I'm more willing and I have more of a connection with my higher power and you people. So it's a time thing also. You know, sometimes people get frustrated and leave before the miracle happens. I've seen that a lot. The other just don't go to meetings, and they go back out, or they go back out and OD, whatever. So it's a patience thing too. So if you're having trouble with patience, maybe you should pray for that. Did I answer your question, Rena, or not?
Yes, Ed, thank you.
Anyone else?
Hi, Ed, Kevin again. I'd like to ask you about when you're sponsoring somebody, and we've been talking the last couple minutes about patience and stuff like that. I know when I was newer, I thought patience was a person in a hospital and didn't apply to me. But how do you deal with somebody that's, you know, that's on 6 and 7 and they're not real patient? Do you give them prayers or instructions, or how do you guide them to, I know for me, it took me a while to become patient. How do you impart that or direct somebody that you're working with?
I said this before at this meeting. I take them through the steps and I'm there for them. I can't pound this in nobody's head. When somebody comes with me with an issue or a question, what have you done or whatever, then they're asking for my input into their lives. But if they're struggling with something, I go, hey, you okay? You need to talk about something? And that's about it. Because I found in my experience, I spun my wheels and people spun their wheels with me. And I just put the walls up. So I think it's better to be the best example that I can be and have communication with the people I work with and try to draw them out. But as far as imparting wisdom, I have no wisdom. I failed at this most of my sobriety. I'm still working on it. I got a little better handle on it. But that's why we recover together. And when somebody else is in recovery and going through the steps and you're taking them through the steps, when they reach back with that hand, that's when growth can be done in that person. When they reach that hand back. I don't think it happens any time before that. That's just my opinion.
Anyone else?
Susan, alcoholic.
Hello.
Hi there. Okay, so when I first got in, I didn't know, I mean, I thought I came from like the, what do you call it, the Nelson family from television, okay? You know, and as I got into Alcoholics Anonymous and then later more in life, I realized, oh my gosh, we have more dysfunction than ever that I could have imagined, you know? And of course, I didn't even know I had character defects, right? I had no clue, still don't. But a lot of times, say my character defects, like for example, I was on the phone with my niece today. She calls me up. I quit a networking group, calls me up, blah, blah, blah. And I can get rattling on. And after I hang up, I realize I hate that character defect of mine, that it's kind of like my show or my conversation, and like, and I forget. And I don't want to be that person. I, you know, like, I want to cut it short. Like, maybe I should cut it short now. But, and not be on everything that was in my mind that I needed to verbally say to them. And I know, and I go, I'm sitting here going, that's a real character defect, you know? And I know I have other character defects I've been aware of lately. Okay. And so how do you break them? I mean, like, you've had them for so long, it's like a habit, really. It's an upbringing sometimes. You get it from your family. I know my brother's similar to certain things like that, I recognize.
I tell you, I joke about it now, but my dad had 39 years when he passed away in Alcoholics Anonymous, and everything was my father's fault. It's in the genes. You know, I blame my dad for everything for a lot of years. And I had some of those character defects that I hated, and I couldn't get rid of them for years. My mouth would open up and it would run, and I'm like, shut up, old man, in my head, you know. It was frustrating, and I still do it occasionally today. When I get with my older sister, you know, I'm in the middle of three. I had two sisters, one older, one younger. And when I get with one or both of them, oh, I hate that. I can't stop it sometimes. It's frustrating. I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I guess, you know, that's why this is a journey. And I think the best thing I can suggest to you is I've started laughing at myself. I did it. I come home and tell my wife, man, I did it again. It's not as bad as it used to be. I can put the brakes on a little quicker. And I'm not going to go on with that character defects. That's more of a judgment on my father, and I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Oh, things are going on. I go, my old man's running around in my head again. This is crap. But it's the rule 62. Don't take yourself so seriously. You know, my sponsor, Jim, talked about it. I've got a little bit better sense of humor about life in general and myself. You know, as long as I'm not drinking today, I'm not intentionally harming anybody today, life's pretty good. So, okay, so I screwed up and I talk like my dad again. Oh, well. I don't intentionally do it, though. So I understand exactly what you're saying, though. So you're not alone. So that's it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, if not, we can go ahead and wrap it up a little bit early tonight. Do we have any